The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O
Lord. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned. But whoever does not believe has already been condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the verdict, that the light came into the world, but people preferred darkness to light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light, and does not come toward the light, so that his works may not be exposed. But whoever lives the truth comes to the light, so that his works may be clearly seen as done in God." The Gospel of the Lord. So I'd ask everybody to take a look at your bulletin cover. The image on the cover of the bulletin is the scene that we just saw with Nicodemus and Jesus. We have a piece of the conversation here. There's a little bit more to it. About half of the conversation is this, and half of the conversation precedes it. And I really like this image that Henry Tanner painted concerning this image. This image is a little bit pixelated here, but you could still get on our bulletin, but you could still get an idea of what's going on and what's being represented. See the face of Jesus, the chest of Jesus, in the lower right corner of the image. This conversation takes place at night, but those are the three areas of light in the image. So there's light emanating from the chest of Jesus. As Catholics, we call this the Sacred Heart of Jesus. It's the very heart of God, which is the source of all light in reality. And of course, the divine intellect is Jesus' face, the upper part of his face, kind of, you might say, above the brain and in the eyes, the divine intellect through which all wisdom and intelligence comes from. And then, as we see in the bottom right corner of the image, the stairs are lit up and illuminated. And this is representative, this really cool image by Tanner, just to show the descent of Jesus, of God coming all the way down to the cross, and that is the only way to light for us, is to follow Jesus on that path, to be with him. And so as we are crucified, we are restored and resurrected. This conversation, this snippet that we get of the conversation that Nicodemus has with Jesus is very enlightening. It's very enlightening about God and about humanity. And so I would kind of cut the conversation in half and dissect it in that way. The second part speaks about us as human beings. The first part speaks about the nature of God. And of course, Jesus, I know we know this, but it's always worth saying, is the person you want to hear these insights from. Because Jesus is God, the Creator, which means that He designed the human heart and the human mind. We are created in God, God's own image and likeness. We're created by God. So God knows what we are. And Jesus is also God made man. So He just has this perspective that is very helpful. And these lines are very much saturated with meaning. And again, this whole chapter in John's Gospel, where this conversation takes place in the darkness, and Nicodemus is being illuminated. Nicodemus is kind of a representation of us. There's a lot going on, and it's very deep. We're just barely touching the surface today. So I'd like to start with the first insight about us as human beings that Jesus gives us. And then I'd like to end kind of with the insights about God and God's nature. So in the second part of the conversation that Jesus has, He says, and this is the verdict, that the light came into the world. And here, of course, we're supposed to understand the light as Jesus. Jesus is the light. And so this is the verdict, that the light came into the world, but people preferred darkness to light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come towards the light, so that his works might not be exposed. But whoever lives the truth comes to the light, so that his works might be clearly seen as done in God. We don't need to be theological scholars or PhD in psychology. We don't have to have a deep insight into how human behavior works to just understand that these lines are true. We see this actually in the scriptures very early on, and we see it often in regular life, that we don't like to expose our sins. We don't like to expose the dark areas inside of us. Adam and Eve immediately run from God after the original sin. They hide in the garden. God says, where are you at? And the very next story in the Bible is Cain and Abel. Cain murders his brother out of envy, and he hides the body. One of the big signs of someone who has a very serious addiction that started to consume the person in a detrimental way is they start to lie regularly and often. We as human beings have this kind of way of skating around things that we don't want to confront the reality of the truth, the pain of the sin. And so we can kind of do this perpetually until we die. I think it's actually one of the reasons we detest silence so much. It's one of the main reasons, is we're actually avoiding looking at ourselves because of the pain that's involved in self-examination is so deep, because we don't live up to our own standards. And so we just decide to endlessly distract ourselves with this, you know, various things. We kind of have this pace and this energy about ourselves where we go from one thing to the next, and we like to stay busy, and we like to point to our production in other ways, maybe at work, or maybe we distract ourselves with entertainment. We do all sorts of things, or maybe we ceaselessly talk. That's a good sign. So we don't want that silence because we don't want to encounter that darkness that's within. Very painful. It's not uncommon as a priest for me to hear people tell me things that they haven't told anyone ever, that they've been holding on to for 20 or 40 or sometimes even 70 years. It's really not uncommon at all. But people have these sins, these things that they are so ashamed of that happened when they were 8 years old, 9 years old, 10 years old, and then it just festers like an infection in their interior lives, in their soul, and it becomes this hidden corner that they have not exposed to the light. And of course, this is where the enemy of human nature, this is where Satan has his power, is always in the darkness. That's his nickname, the Prince of Darkness. Jesus is always, and God is always associated with light. Satan, satanic forces are always kind of darkness. That's where he has dominion. That's where he has power. Once things go out into the light, that's where God has dominion. And that's where those things lose power. So as a priest, it's really quite a beautiful and privileged experience to be a spiritual authority, to see people receive that freedom that God wants to give them. Now, of course, the main way that we are given this, the optimal way of exposing darkness to light and receiving the freedom that God wants to give us, is the sacrament of reconciliation, the sacrament of confession. And we really don't like that sacrament. Even some of the most devout Catholics I know don't like the sacrament. I've been going regularly to confession for probably 15 years at this point, since I was in college. I still don't like the sacrament. I do, but what I mean is, it hurts. You know, it hurts. It hurts, but it feels good after. It's like facing a very difficult workout or something like that. It's like, I don't want to do this right now. But it's really nice on the back end. It's very nice. It's very liberating on the back end. Catholics make all sorts of excuses for not going to the sacrament of confession. They'll come up with intellectual arguments. Oh, why do I have to tell my sins to a priest and bring this up to someone else? This is a man-made thing. All these kind of different rationalizations. It's like, no, we just don't want to expose the darkness. It's very difficult. No one wants to do that. But really, this is how we receive freedom. This is how we receive freedom. The second part of the conversation that I'd like to touch on is just the revelation of God by Jesus, who is God. So here, you know, we have the scariness of the darkness and confronting ourselves and all the things that I was just talking about. And honestly, it is very difficult to look at ourselves because we're so harsh and judgmental oftentimes towards ourselves. And we oftentimes, I had a person the other day say to me, Father, I walked into church late and you were mean mugging me. And I said, I didn't even notice that you were in the church. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. I told her this, and she had projected that because she was late, she walked in late or whatever, and she had projected my judgment on her, even though I did not notice her. How often we do this with God. How often we do this with God. We project the judgment of God on us. For God, this is coming from the Sacred Heart of God Himself. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. So, the irony here is kind of a very basic Christian truth. We do it first thing when we walk in, when we start celebrating the Mass. The first thing that we do, brothers and sisters, let us call to mind the ways that we have sinned and ask God for his mercy. We admit that we're sinners. We admit that we're sinners at the very beginning of Mass, every single Mass. And this is a part of our of what Christ teaches us and what God has revealed to us is we admit our faults, our limitations, and God has mercy on us. It's okay. It's actually it's the flip is what ends up killing us inside. Is when we don't admit it, that's when we actually are condemned. Is when we try to, in our pride, create like a false image of ourselves. We want to be just completely transparent and trusting in God's heart for us. I remember Pope Francis gave a great answer. Somebody said to him his first couple months as being Pope, how would you describe yourself? He says, he said something along the lines of, I describe myself as I am a sinner who needs God. Ultimately, our sins do not define us. God's love for us defines us. We're created in God's image and likeness. And in the scariness of all the stuff that's inside here, we want to look at ourselves with God, who's really less harsh and judgmental than we ourselves tend to be on ourselves. We want to live in the truth. The first thing you have to do if you're going to get sober from any addiction is you just have to admit it, right? That's like a basic precept of AA, is you stop telling lies, and from that point forward, you start to say, I'm an alcoholic, even when you stop drinking. That's like kind of like the same thing, right? I'm a sinner. I'm in need of God's grace. That's just human nature. But that's okay, because God died on the cross for me. And he's with me, and he's alive, and his heart is for me. Lord, we ask you to help us to live in the truth, to hand over any dark areas of our life over to you, and to just receive the freedom that the sons and daughters of God receive. Help us to be free people. And to just enjoy life like children who are in good relationship with their parents when they're young and who are just able to just be free. Help us to have that in your presence and in relationship with you through Christ our Lord. Amen. And let's take a few minutes in silence just to listen to and speak with the Lord in our hearts.